Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let you guys know about our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. It's from Sam Adams, Porch Rocker. I mean, you just get the picture of that, right? Kind of more, probably a lighter beer, maybe, and it's just something you can chill out and sit at the in the patio, sit on the porch, hang out right after you get done mowing the lawn, or maybe while you're mowing the lawn. I don't know. Tasting's going on this week at On the Rocks Liquor on Friday from Dirty Dill Distillery out of Denver. You can try their original dill pickle vodka. I've never had dill pickle vodka before. I'd be down to try that. I like vodka, and I like dill pickles, so mix them together. Who knows? Saturdays is the tasting is going to be Restoration Whiskey, so always great tastings going on, discovering places locally, statewide, and even nationally there at On the Rocks Liquor off of 47th Avenue, very close to Buffalo Wild Wings. So check them out there, On the Rocks Liquor. Do me a favor, make your next celebration On the Rocks. My tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. It's available at theholeshow.com. Go vote. Would you consider a boycott of the Rockies until a change is made in ownership? And you guys can go vote on that at theholeshow.com. The options today, yes, no, or consider, I'm already boycotting the Rockies. 59% saying yes, I would consider that. 29% say I'm already doing so, and 12% say no. I want to read some of the comments because these are interesting. Lane says, I'll always be a fan, but I have made it a point to go to less games. I refuse to support mediocrity. Well, you're going to some games, though, so you're still kind of supporting the team. Listen, I'm not a big boycott guy. I think life's too short. I think you just do what you're going to do. But it does, the question's in the back of my mind. Guy sending in a long one, so I'm going to kind of summarize. I'll read this, but I think this is interesting. He says, Monfort will not sell the team because the team is profitable for him. There's also no incentive to sell. Denver's a great sports town and had success on some level for football, now hockey and basketball. It's known that Denver supports their teams. With baseball, we were always amongst the leaders in attendance, so people always have come to the games, even if it's to support the other team. So what if the fans boo? They're at the stadium, right? That's money in the pocket for Monfort, so what does he care? Then he goes on to say this. I had some friends that were removed from Coors Field because they expressed a negative view on Monfort. So now they are censoring? Well, that's weird if that happened. Boycotting is the obvious answer. I feel like it's sort of a catch-22. If you boycott, will that make a difference? I don't know. Should I be penalized if I want to go watch some of my favorite players, even if they're in the opposite team? Or a sport that I love just because the owner is a schmuck. So, Angel, that's where my thought here is, I'm not going to be the guy that says you're part of the problem. You're supporting that? Well, that's why they're allowed to do it. You got a Major League Baseball team in the state of Colorado. It's a gorgeous place to watch a game. I mean, Coors Field is a blast to hang out. If they lose, I mean, we all drove down there last year right around this time, and I think the Rockies lost that game, surprise. But it's a great time. It really is. You watch it on TV, and I'm watching it on Saturday. I'm like, it looks like a beautiful spot to be tonight. That'd be fun to be at tonight. So I'm never one of those guys that's like, boycott. You do. Like guys saying here, should I be penalized for wanting to go to the ballpark once in a while, whether it's to just go there or maybe support a different team? And no, you shouldn't. I don't think that there should be a lot of animosity toward people if they want to go to the game. My question is, would you consider it? And then at the end of the day, is it even going to work?
Well, I mean, he brought up the Monforts. You know, they're making money, so it doesn't really matter to them. You have to make it matter. You have to, whether it's doing a reverse boycott like the Athletics did, whether it's an actual boycott, whatever it is, you have to let the owners know that you're not happy. Yeah, you can still go to the games. You can still watch and support. You can still be critical of it. But you have to let them know something, that there has to be some kind of change.
Well, it's like, what they do in Cleveland for the Browns? I mean, They became one. Was it them first, or was it the Eagles back in the day? The guy that put the brown, they always put the brown bags, the paper bags over their heads, and everybody started doing it. And you started seeing more and more of that happening, where it was almost embarrassing to have these people there. Guys saying that people, he had some friends that went to a game and they were negative on Monfort cheering, and they got kicked out. Now, again, how were they belligerent? What was that? You got to be careful there. But will they let fans start coming in and doing that kind of stuff? Because you don't really see it. I mean, again, when you're watching it on AT&T Sportsnet, the camera's not going to go over and find those guys.
We talk about just like the atmosphere in Denver, such a great sports city. Yeah, it really is. Since 2015, they've had several championships and parades and trophies and great athletes. Why can't we have one more with a baseball team? Why is that? Like, don't you want that? Don't you want, if you could be like, oh, I'm from Colorado. We just went to a parade, and next year we're going to a Rockies parade, and then the Nuggets parade after that. Wouldn't that be so cool? But no, we're going to be satisfied with the worst season ever for the Rockies.
Yeah, maybe so.
But no, Monfort can stay. Bud Black, he's a good guy. He could probably stay another year. We'll be fine. When is enough enough?
This is Ryan says, Brady, if you had a magical tree in your backyard that printed $1 million bills, would you sell the house because some neighbors were unhappy about the state of your house?
Did you plant the tree? Or was it there when you bought the
house?
It
was probably there when I bought it.
Okay, what was the value of your house?
Not very.
When you bought it versus now that you have this tree?
It's probably more now, right?
Right.
So, and I get that take too. Why would he sell it? I've always said this, though. Owners of teams, I hold to a different standard than anybody. Like, I'm a capitalist. I believe go out and make money. But if you own a sports team, that to me is its own little category. And if you're not servicing your fans for the greater good and you're giving them a product, and I'm pissed at the Cronkies too. On that whole altitude thing, I have DirecTV, so I'm not that pissed because I get to watch the games. I can't
be
that.
You still give Kroenke stuff for not having a proper practice facility.
Yeah, yeah.
There's leaks in the practice facility while they're practicing for the finals.
And the Avs have to practice in like some open
rec facility.
Some rec facility. So yeah, that's not good. Somehow they manage. Somehow they're winning still. That is a little ridiculous, though. But I've come on here and complained about that. I've complained about the altitude thing. But they're still winning. They're still winning, so it makes it a little easier to take. Makes it a lot easier to take. I've always said this about owners of sports teams. Like, you owe it to your fans. You buy it. You want to buy Walmart, and the customers bitch at you, great, you can make money, fine. It's Walmart's big business, whatever. But sports are different. They're sacred. You buy a sports team, and you do what's best for your fans. You got to think about your fan base every single year.
If selling's off the table, what can you do to get the Monforts to look down from their tower and say, hey, what's some commotion down there? A little bit of not an angry mob, but some pitchforks and torches there.
You probably
do something.
Go to games and you create that. I mean, the reverse boycott. What you're saying, probably, if they'll allow you in the door, you buy a ticket and you wear sell the team shirt, are they going to let you in? Because that doesn't look good on AT&T Sportsnet when Drew Goodman and Spilly want to go off on a rant and the camera starts to pan out and see fans, and you see 5,000 fans out there in unison chanting, and then they wouldn't let you
in.
What
looks worse, fans wearing T-shirts or 500 approximate fans scattered around the outfield?
I don't know. Can you tolerate the...
Oh, but there's 300 people in the rock at the rooftop.
Yeah, they have no idea the game's even happening. They're
that's
just
not
up there.
A baseball stadium. That's just another building in downtown.
That's just just a building. It's beautiful because there's a field in the middle of it, and the way the sun sets and all of it's gorgeous. But it's just a building where you can go hang out, and there's a game that just happens to be on out there.
God, imagine if they were winning.
It's
already fun. We're not saying it's not. But
this is what we're telling you.
Just imagine how much better it could be.
I stand by this. The Rockies, if they were consistently good, and I'm talking in the playoffs, let's go 5 years. They make the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, and 2 of those years they're going pretty deep. Maybe one of them they're teasing you with, oh, maybe this is a World Series team. You do that, this state, I'm telling you, the Rockies could rival the Broncos. I don't think it's possible with the Nuggets. I just don't think it's that much of a basketball state. And I'm a Nuggets guy. The Avs, it's hockey. That's the fourth on the list with everybody, unless you're diehard. people love the Broncos, but man, I'm telling you, in 2007 during the Rocktober run, it was different. You know, I don't think Nuggets mania really picked up until they got in the finals. I was talking to people even that were texting me from Denver that were like, yeah, I'm kind of surprised. It doesn't have that same feel that I thought that it does when the Broncos are in the Super Bowl or even when the Rocks were in Rocktober. And I get that. But it turned out 750,000 people showed out for it, and that's great. I think the Nuggets gained a lot of new fans this year. But Rocktober was something else, man. People were absolutely enthralled by this. And if you give them a taste of that more often, then you do rival the Broncos. Flying Dutchman, I've been a Rockies fan since day one. Having zero division titles ever has made me realize over the years not to have any expectations. I'm going to watch the Dodgers Wednesday night. They have incredible talent. I want to see it. But I have no expectations that the Rockies will ever win the division, much less a World Series. They've had two fluky years. Other than that, nothing. And I hate to be the guy that says, yeah, that year was a fluke. I don't like that one, the term as much. But man, it was like the Tebow year. It kind of was. It was like everything that could happen for you happened 22 out of 23 games or whatever. Everything that could go right went right. That was what happened with the Broncos and Tim Tebow. A kicker was urinating on the sidelines, found out he was on camera, came out to kick the game-winning field goal, and realized he was on camera urinating and he missed it. Wasn't that Kading for the Chargers? Marion Barber ran out of bounds and gave the Broncos an extra stoppage of clock and they got the ball back and went down and scored. Rex Ryan had been defending the Broncos perfectly, beautifully, and then suddenly blitzes everybody after Tim Tebow, and Tebow just rolls out to his left and goes untouched into the end zone. Weird things happened that season. Tebow won a game by completing two passes. He completed two passes, and one of them was for a touchdown. I mean, two passes. That was kind of the stuff that we're talking about in that year. Now, the Rockies had talent. They did. But they were bad until they went on that run. I get so irritated with this because I've said it for years. Owners of a team owe it to their fans to help find solutions. It shouldn't be, this is my business, I'm making bank, and that's it. Unfortunately, that's the case. You see it with a lot of teams. It's not just the Rockies. You know, it's when the NFL went on a lockout a few years ago, or threatened to. I remember talking about that, how I said, I think the owners have to be the ones to give in a little bit here. I don't believe that with, like, day-to-day business, but sports are video games, man. That's different. You buy a team because you're a fan of the team. That means you should be representing the fans. If you can do... I remember Pat Bowlen wrote a letter to the fans after the lockout. You know, this is unacceptable, and we are going to do everything we can to figure this out. You are the one suffering the most on all this. Like, I really appreciated that. And I go back to that with Dick Monfort. Give me something. You're right. Give me something. What are we doing then? Oh, we're in a rebuild? If that's what it takes to get some people off of you, then come right out and say, hey, it's not the way we anticipated, but it worked out this way, and we are going to stay committed to this rebuild, and this is what we're up to next season. And I'm saying I don't really expect any even good GMs to do that. Because like the Nuggets, like the Kroenkes and everything, and Masai Ujiri and Tim Conley, when they were going through this, they just flat out didn't tell us. It just was, there was no false hope. There was no, hey, you know, this is it. This is going to be the year. It was just kind of, we are excited about Brian Shaw, and we think he's going to be a good leader. There was no, hey, we're going to win 41 games this year. We're going to win 39. And then the next year, we're going to be in contention. There was none of that stuff. I think the idea of boycotting to me is interesting because, again, it's Colorado. And I'm telling you, if you go to Coors Field, you would fall in love with the place. And that's why Dick Monfort's good at what he does in certain areas. You know, they developed something there. He took over full ownership in 2011, but of course he's been a part of this because Charlie Monfort was the bigwig before him. So he's been, you know, part of this, part of the big-time decision-making for a very long time. But you're just kind of going back when we're talking specifically about Dick Monfort. You go back to 2011, when he really had the sole control there. And that was a couple years after the World Series, and they were pretty rough. They had some decent seasons. 73-89 is, 2011, then 64-98, 74-88, 66-96, 68-94. See what I'm saying? Like, there's not even a stretch of, yeah, it was a decent team. You made it to the playoffs in 2017 with an 87-75 record. You lost in the wild card round to the Diamondbacks. In 2018, you won 91 games, one of the better seasons during Dick, probably the best season during Dick Monfort's run as sole decision maker, sole owner, whatever it is, CEO. And then they won a wild card game, or they beat the Cubs. And then they lost to the Brewers. So that was the best it's been, really. And then while Dick Monfort was involved, yes, he was like, he and Charlie were the guys that ran things back in the World Series. So I'm not taking anything away there. But more often than not, you're going to witness a bad season with the Rockies. That's what I'm saying. Go back and look at the Nuggets. More often than not, maybe you're a playoff team. Same could be said for the Broncos, even though the last 7 years has not been the case. Same can be said for the Avs. And for the Rockies, if you were to just close your eyes, like when you turn a globe and you spin the globe and just to see where you're going to end up going on a vacation, turn that globe of Rocky seasons, and if you stop it on any season, odds are your finger's going to point to a losing season, certainly a playoff-less season, and that is depressing. And that's where this organization has been. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043, 22 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Let's switch gears, talk about a team that they're trying. They're trying to turn the page. They actually seem like they have a plan put forward here to try to get better, and that's the Denver Broncos. My five burning questions for the Broncos as we're about a month away from training camp. We'll discuss that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Rodeo Radio is back during the Greeley Stampede. Only on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
A lot of great deals and specials going on over at Pooter Pet and Feed Supply. They have locations in Fort Collins and Windsor, and there's never a better time to pop in there. I thought that was the case in May when they did their celebration of 35 years serving Northern Colorado, but now in June they're doing just as many specials, so it's a great time to stop by Pooter Pet and Feed Supply. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. My five burning questions for the Denver Broncos. We're about a month away, Angel. It's getting exciting. Get NFL teams back into training camp and start learning about who's going to be what, who's going to bounce back, who's going to, maintain their status as far as being an excellent football team. All the storylines building up. I think the Broncos have one of the more unique storylines in Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. Those two things, Sean Payton making his return to the NFL. And Russell Wilson, can he bounce back? Is he the guy that we saw in Seattle? So I kind of put together just like my five obvious questions when I think about the Broncos, and I think in order for them to get back to being a playoff team that we haven't seen since 2015, I got to have these questions answered. And I'm going to go five up to one, count down here, down to one, I should say. Number one being my biggest question. Number five, I'm going to go Sean Payton. It's not like my hottest burning question, but is Sean Payton as good as advertised? He's been out of the game for a little bit. He was in the media world. He's making it known or unknown, rather. You're not going to know what's going on with this team until we get into training camp. I don't want to say secrets, but definitely controlling the media more. Not going to give you a lot of insight. We're going to do the work behind closed doors, and you'll see the product as we approach training camp and get into the preseason. But he is definitely different than Nathaniel Hackett. He is more of a no-nonsense kind of guy, all business. We're going to get our bodies right, we're going to get our minds right, and then we're going to get the football right. Conditioning, he's pushing on that. He's got that drill sergeant mentality, at least for what we've heard a little bit. So is Sean Payton going to be as good as advertised? Obviously, we know how good he was in New Orleans. He turned that thing instantly. He also had Drew Brees. Drew Brees turned out to be a pretty damn good quarterback. He's a Hall of Famer, right? Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer. Like, there's my obvious test. Drew Brees a Hall of Famer? Yes. Russ is close. Has to have a couple of recovery years, though. So that's a big one for me, is can he get this team to really buy into it? Can he change the culture that quickly where the Broncos are now competitive, maybe to the point of a playoff team coming up in 2023? Number four. So, I mean, a lot of these questions are going to be around the offense. And so I look at it, who is going to be the standout player? Who's going to be the obvious, if there is one, more of an obvious Pro Bowler? You know, is it going to be Javonte Williams recovering? Is it going to be from his injury? Is it going to be, you know, Jerry Jeudy? Is he finally going to live up to the hype? I mean, he was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Not bad at all. Just a lot of criticism early on for him. Can he sharpen his game to where we all kind of expected it to be when the Broncos got him so early in the first round a couple of seasons ago? And it did seem like he was starting to get some momentum with Russell Wilson. Is it going to be him? Is Cortland Sutton? I mean, there was a time, dude, I thought Cortland Sutton might be one of those special players. He had 829 yards. We evaluate receivers differently nowadays, though. 1,000 yards isn't what it used to be. 1,000 yards almost feels like you have to get it. He had 829. 1,000 almost feels like if you want to be considered a top 10, 15 receiver in the league, then you have to have 1,000 yards. So Sutton had 829 and two touchdowns last year. I want to see more from him. Is it going to be Tim Patrick bouncing back, who I think, you know, based on what we've seen from the guy, he just looks like the worker of the three. So who's going to be that go-to on offense? The standout receiver, tight end player, whatever, that Russell Wilson can really rely on, that can be, get, you know, a guy that gets close and starts sniffing 100 receptions. Because Jeudy had 67 and Sutton had 64, and then the drop-off there was pretty rough, which leads me to my third question going forward. And it's a guy I'm really interested in, and that's Greg Dulcich. Is Greg Dulcich good? Sean Payton made some interesting comparisons about him the other day, that he was like a Jason Witten and a Jeremy Shockey kind of guy. Those guys in their prime, especially Jason Witten, were something else, man. Jeremy Shockey was such a beast in his prime. But Sean Payton really values the tight end position. And we saw a couple of glimpses last year with Dulcich. He had 33 receptions on 55 targets, 411 yards, and two touchdowns. So and he didn't play a whole lot early on. He played in 10 games total. So is he good? I don't know the answer to that question yet. He looks the part. I think he, you know, I don't know how great of a blocker he is. Is that going to impact him as far as how many different sets he's going to be involved in? But there's going to be tight ends. There's going to be dual sets where there's more tight ends in the scheme than wide receivers. But I think that if he's good, then that means Russell Wilson is on his way to a bounce back year. And who knows, maybe questions three and four are combined. Who will be the go-to on offense? Maybe it's Greg Dulcich, and then that would mean, yeah, he's good. He's a player. Number two, Javonte Williams and his health. We have gone back and forth on this one. Is Williams going to be good to go by the time we get to the preseason or the regular season? Like, he'd be one of those players I'm totally okay with not playing the preseason because of the injury. That's it. Because if he can bounce back, I mean, he showed so many signs of being a premier back. His first year, his rookie year, he ran for 900 yards. And 900 yards to run for is a lot harder than it is to catch for. So he had 900 yards and four touchdowns his rookie season. He only played in four games last year, and he had 204 yards. His average was about the same. He averaged 4.4 his rookie year, 4.3 last year in four games. So he seems like he could be such a very solid running back for Denver, and we're pretty high on the guy. But is he healthy? Because we've gone back and forth. You've heard people say, oh, man, you know, George Payton was pretty optimistic that he'd be back by training camp. And then it was, you know, maybe not. And maybe they're going to look at a different running back. And maybe Dalvin Cook's name's going to heat up. And again, that Dalvin Cook situation does impact my Javonte Williams question a little bit. If they go sign Dalvin Cook, there's a part of me that wonders, yeah, they're definitely expecting Javonte to miss some time. Because Williams won't be the starter, will he, if Dalvin Cook's here? He still seems like he's a number one back. So I suppose that will tell us a lot about his injury going forward. And number one, the most obvious one in the room, can Russell Wilson make a comeback? All the storylines, the Sean Paytons, the George Paytons, there will be a lot of eyeballs on Russell Wilson, as it should be. The quarterback is the position. And if he can turn it around, then odds are the Broncos are turning it around and they're back in the playoffs. And Russell Wilson gets back on that track to the Hall of Fame. He showed the glimpses last year. The two games with Jerry Rosberg as his head coach, he was much better. It didn't look like everything was so difficult. He didn't have monster games. It just didn't look as difficult. Under Hackett's offense, everything was a pain. Everything was tough, like getting a play in, you know, getting the call off in time, snapping the ball on time. A routine, you know, quick slant looked very difficult just to get in formation. And the offensive line was struggling and bad too. So obviously there's an improve there. That should help Russ. You're getting your weapons back. You are getting Tim Patrick back. And again, we think you're getting Javonte Williams back. Greg Dulcich, as a rookie last year, didn't start the season because he was hurt. Is he going to be something? So those are my five. Sean Payton, is he as good as advertised? Who will be the go-to on the offensive side of the ball for Russell Wilson? Is Greg Dulcich good? Javonte Williams and his health? And can Russell Wilson bounce back? There you go. Chew on that. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Mondays at Cable's Pub and Grill, all-you-can-eat spaghetti for just $5.95. That's my go-to, folks. I can't tell you enough. I love everything there that I've had. I just recently discovered the Fiesta Thursday burritos, the smothered burritos. Ridiculously good. Amazing. I love relaxing there. I love watching games there. I love meeting clients there, hanging out, whatever. I just can't say enough about it. And Sean and Nikki, man, they just do such a great job with their staff, and even in the rough times when staffing was difficult, they found a way through it, and I just appreciate them so much. Cable's Pub and Grill, that's where my friends meet, 42 minutes after the hour. Do you think Michael Jordan made all of the old Chicago Bulls players crazy? Because Scottie Pippen came out, and he's like, Jordan wasn't very good. Now Dennis Rodman was asked about Larry Bird, and he said if he played in today's NBA, he'd be playing in Europe. I mean, it's Dennis Rodman. We're giving everybody a voice now. Everybody has their takes on their top 10 players and all this stuff, and it's like certain takes, like Scottie Pippen saying that Michael Jordan wasn't really that good of a player, and Dennis Rodman saying Larry Bird wouldn't even be here. He'd be shipped over somewhere in Europe. He wouldn't be playing in the NBA. Wow. He was complimenting Nikola Jokic, though. He was asked about where he would rank the Joker. He said, yeah, he's better than these guys, this guy, this guy, this guy. He said, he's better than Larry Bird. And then he said, let me put it this way. If Larry Bird were playing in today's NBA, he'd be over in Europe. That argument, Angel, is just one that's, I'm not one of the guys. I'm not the old fogey. I'm not the young buck. I'm kind of in between, probably, because I'm almost 40. But I don't like to be the guy that says, Steph Curry couldn't play in the NBA in the 90s, in the early 90s and 80s. I also don't like to be the guy that says Jordan couldn't play in 2023 against these guys. You're never going to know. The game would evolve and change differently. Was the game better then? Were they more skilled then, or are they more skilled now? They were probably a little tougher as far as physicality because they let them get away with more. Does that make it better basketball? I remember hearing our boy Scott Hastings one time on one of the altitude calls, and he's like, "Hey, if a guy pump fakes you like that, you go up for the swat and you thump him on the head pretty good." Marlo goes, "That would be a foul." He goes, "Well, I bet he'd never do it again." It's like, "Yes, but that would be a foul." And three free throws coming up. Well, Scott played for the Bad Boys. I just think those arguments of if he played today, if he played, they're so subjective. And again, you could go quiz people that are like 50 plus, guarantee you most of them are going to come out and say the Jordans, the Larry Birds, like all those guys would destroy all the players in today's league. I think everybody adapts. You know, you can't just transport Jordan to now. You can't do that and have him play. They adapt to the game as they go. James Harden was a different player when he played in OKC than he was when he played with Houston. He started taking advantage of the rules more as the rules started tightening up and sending people to the free throw line more. Harden learned how to contort his body when he went to the lane to pick up a foul call. So these guys, I give them credit for that. I don't love it. I wish the rules would change. These guys adapt to the games. But no, Larry Bird would absolutely dominate. He'd be a great player. I mean, I would imagine he'd be a great player. That doesn't mean I'm saying he'd be better than LeBron and all those guys. If I'm giving you the list, though, of just stats and everything, yeah, I'm going to go Larry Bird's greater than LeBron. But I think LeBron could play in the 80s and the 90s. Steph Curry, why not? John Stockton played in the 90s. I read some of those, you know, and again, Scottie Pippen's is weird because, like, because you watched the Jordan documentaries, Pippen was pretty complimentary of Jordan throughout that thing. You know, he didn't knock Jordan at all. And then now suddenly he's coming out saying Michael Jordan wasn't actually that good. Wild to me. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Tight-knit Brewing poll question of the day. Would you consider boycotting the Rockies until a change is made in ownership? Almost 60% now saying yes, I would consider that. Middle of the road, we got about 30% saying I'm already boycotting the Rockies. And then 12% are saying no. Kind of the theme of the show today. You know, people complain I don't talk enough Rockies. Now, there's a reason for that. But when you lose so badly, like, I'm just going to finish with this on the Rockies. They're getting the wrong kind of attention, but this is absolutely warranted. I don't care if you've been following the Rockies all season or not. What happened on Saturday, even though they won the series, was embarrassing for the franchise. And people should be talking about it. Local news venues that aren't talking Rockies suddenly talking Rockies on Saturday. What do you think's going to happen? Ignore a 20, what was it again? What was it, 25 to 1. Ignore that? You want people to ignore that? They're not going to. It was abysmal. It was embarrassing. It was historically bad. So got into it with our boy Tanner earlier about, like, he's like, all these people coming out that don't even watch the games. I'm like, this was historically bad. This is going to bring people out. That's you got to hold them accountable when they're that bad.
Well, it doesn't feel good when other people talk about your team like that. The only way to do that is to get the team to change.
Yeah.
You have to do that. Whether it's, if you want to go to the games, go to the games. If you want to be a fan and support and buy their jerseys, do it. But understand that there is a other part of your fan base that isn't happy with what's going on.
And I think that
we're not hating you for it, for going to games and all that. We're just saying we're not happy with it. I'm not going to the game.
This isn't going to change. And again, I'm not going to go yell at somebody for going to a game. But it's not going to change. They might strike oil here pretty soon, and maybe they get something going. But there's no history of past success that would lead me to believe, yes, the Rockies will bounce back at some... Not bounce back. They've never been on the other side, that the Rockies will someday be a consistently good baseball team. There's just no evidence to support that. 48 minutes after the hour. What did we learn today? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 26th day of June? It was a lot of Rockies today. When you lose historically like that, you're going to be the topic of conversation. So what I learned is even people that haven't been following you that closely, when you give them something like this, this is human nature. This is sports. This is what's going to happen. The fans came out and are very upset. They're pissed. The fans, the casual fans, whatever. And the talk about Dick Monfort selling, should sell this team, I mean, that's resurfacing like perhaps never before. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I learned from our conversation with Blake in the first hour that UNC's got some exciting stuff going on with their football program. I feel like we've all been waiting for this, for the evidence of this culture change and what Ed Lamb is doing there. And I think we're seeing it a little bit more and more throughout the summer. These guys are working out together. They're getting along. They're doing these little camps that are super cool. But like you said, getting UNC's name out there, getting that Bear logo into high schools, and kids are seeing it and recognizing it and say, hey, what's going on up there in Greeley? So really excited for that. And football season is almost here.
CU's not going to go after a lot of these guys in the state. CSU's going to go after a few. This is where, if you're UNC, you have an opportunity to get local kids on your team. And again, what happens if I'm a local kid? My parents are coming. My cousins are coming. My friends are going to come check out the game. And I'm building a culture. I'm building a fun environment where more and more people are coming to watch the games. And then with that, the excitement builds and a little extra juice from the fans to the players, maybe helps out. Maybe helps this. You really start to develop something. So curious to see it. You know, the offense was pretty rough last year. Defensively had their moments, but even statistically, they were still kind of at the bottom of the barrel. So the Bears looking to hit a full-on recharge with Ed Lamb, and we're not that far away from getting their season underway. Tomorrow, we got to go over the rookies for the Nuggets, the numbers, and some of the greats that, what do we got? Julian Strother is going to be wearing number 3. We got Hunter Tyson's going to be wearing 4. What is, oh, and Jaden Pickett's going to be wearing 24? Cool. So let's go over who wore what. Who wore what? We'll talk about that tomorrow on Tuesday's show. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.